Jeremiah 16:17. For mine eyes are upon the ways of man, and I see all his steps. Jeremiah 16:17. For mine eyes are upon the ways of man, and I see all his steps. Jeremiah 16:17. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 13. Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 13. We're glad to see all of you here today. I want to share with you at the very outset that in preparation for the messages for the coming weeks, I've given consideration to the essence of God, the members of the characteristics of the members of the family of God. I came to the conclusion in studying the subject of the sovereignty of God that I could not do it justice in one session, and I didn't know exactly how to title the other messages. So if you'll notice in the bulletin, I put sovereignty number one, sovereignty number two, and sovereignty number three. So that just lets you know that what we want to do is deal with a tremendous, fantastic, great subject, but deal with it in such a fashion that we can have a better understanding of God's plan in relationship to His essence, His characteristics. So I just wanted you to know ahead of time how this particular subject has affected me. And I believe that as we study, the same type of thing that happened to me will happen to you as we open our hearts and minds to the wonderful Word of God. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful today that you've blessed all of us so richly. And we ask now that in these moments we're studying, that we'll have open minds and open hearts, that we'll be able to receive the spiritual fuel that our souls need, that we might be able to magnify the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. On the screen you see now Hebrews chapter 6, verse 3. A very interesting verse indeed, for it says, "For when God made promise to Abraham, since by no one he had greater to swear, he swore by himself." I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God, is the way we say it. How would God say it? I promise to tell the truth, everything that's the truth. No help me, so help me, me. I believe that's the way he would say it. So help me, me. On the screen, you see Hebrews 6:13. For when God made promise to Abraham, since by no one he had greater to swear, he swore by himself. All of you are aware of the fact that some years ago, you probably experienced, as we did, for the first time, what we know as the GPS system. Many of you are aware of the fact that that GPS stands for Global Positioning System. If someone should ask you, what does GPS stand for? We know that it's a satellite navigation system, but you need to put this into your thinking. GPS stands for Global Positioning System. On the screen, I have put DPS, which is a divine power system. And I'm calling this the Heavenly Navigation System. I'm sure that all of you experience this. over the period of years and using the GPS system, many of you have heard what I've heard. Turn around if possible. All of us have experienced that. God has given us a system which we call the divine power system. The divine power system was given to the Lord Jesus Christ as a Christmas present. It was given to him at the time of his birth, his physical existence on the earth. I'm going to go slowly enough for you to be able to get this because it's very important in the light of the sovereignty of God to see the divine power system. The divine system was given to the Lord Jesus Christ as a Christmas present, is what we're referring to. It was given at the time of his birth. The divine system is given to each believer at the point of our spiritual birth. Some years ago, you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. God worked the miracle of transformation. At that time, you may or may not realize it, but you were given a magnificent spiritual system. We've heard this thousands of times, and that is that God moved you into an area where you became the recipient of the Spirit of God, utilizing properly the Word of God. You were moved from dichotomy to trichotomy, something all of us have heard many, many times. In other words, when you became a born-again believer, God changed you from body and soul to body, soul, and spirit. In other words, at the time of your spiritual birth, God gave to you this magnificent, and gave to me this magnificent system, which we are calling the divine power system. Number three, the power of the divine dynasphere is God the Holy Spirit. Now, this is not new to you. You've heard it, I'm sure, many times. But it's important for you to be able to see what God has done for you and me at the point of salvation. God changed you. God changed me. And we became the recipient of the Spirit of God, the human spirit that gave us the ability to comprehend and understand things in the realm of the spiritual. That's the reason why the Apostle Paul was saying to the Corinthian believers, the natural man, the unsaved person, cannot comprehend things of the Spirit. The reason why you and I can comprehend spiritual things is because we have this divine power system. Number four, there can be no glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ apart from this divine system. Number five, there can be no true happiness apart from the divine power sphere. I don't want to go so rapidly that you miss what the emphasis here is. I have seen this week the power of God in a magnificent way. I've seen and comprehended a little bit more about the sovereignty of God, the power of God, the rulership of God, the influence of God. It's been amazing to me. There can be no true happiness apart from the divine dynasphere. Number six, the momentum of the Christian life comes from perception of God's truth when the person reaches what we call step four. Most of you have seen this picture so many times, and you'll notice that over on the divine power sphere, step four is what is known as perception and application. I'm not putting the diagram on the screen now. Most of you have a memory of what this is all about. The momentum of the Christian life comes from perception of God's truth when the person reaches that point of perception and application. Most of us have seen the diagram so many times, we've been able to remember that the first step there is the cleansing of sin and the filling of the Holy Spirit. There's an emphasis upon restoration to fellowship. There's an emphasis upon humility. We've all seen this many, many times. And when we get to step four, we see the emphasis upon perception and application. I want to remind you today, the more that I visit with people and talk with people, I'm aware of the fact that many people do not have any comprehension whatsoever in relationship to this step four, perception and application. It simply means that many people have said, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've accepted Him as my Savior. But they do not have a desire to advance and grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. They've not come to the point in their lives where they are perceptive and they're willing to make application of the magnificent Word of God like I believe that you do. All I'm trying to do is to tell you that when we study the sovereignty of God, we must understand that sovereignty means that God is the ruler, God is the leader, God is the provider. And I'm trying to be as simple as possible and yet be as profound as the Scripture is in relationship to this subject of the sovereignty of God. The momentum of the Christian life comes from perception of God's truth when the person realizes the importance of perception and the application of truth. What is so sad is that many people today have not come to that point. They have not been aware of the importance of being properly related to God and being perceptive to His plan for their individual life. Which means that they have not been able to comprehend the importance of body, soul, and spirit, where the Spirit of God makes it possible for us to be able to receive spiritual fuel and utilize that spiritual fuel on a day-by-day basis so that we can have happiness and joy and peace. Number 7. Bible teaching pastors are described in the book of Revelation as the 7 stars, and they provide spiritual food for folk who are perceptive and who desire to advance. This is one of the greatest points that I can give you because it is a direct command to my life as a minister. I want you to be able to fully comprehend that the Lord has blessed us over a period of years. And the desire of this pastor has been for individuals who sit in the congregation and listen to the Word of God, that they would comprehend the importance of being properly related to God and properly related to the Word of God on a day-by-day basis. The Bible teaching pastors are the 7 stars, and they provide spiritual food for folk who are perceptive and who desire to advance. Number 8, the believer provides the perception, and the pastor provides the spiritual food. I smile when I say that because I just want you to see that we all understand that. This is to be done consistently and faithfully. My responsibility, as I've said many times, is to love you. And the way that I love you is to communicate God's Word to you. Number 9. A believer who rejects God's Word closes the doors and destroys the options. A believer who accepts God's Word opens the doors and makes possible greater options which result in great happiness, great blessings, and great dynamics in this life. When I put this down, I realize how full that sentence is. A believer who rejects God's Word closes the doors and destroys the options. What I want to remind you today is that you and I must be extremely careful that we don't close the doors to our relationship to Jesus Christ and the reception of His thinking. A believer who rejects God's Word closes the doors and destroys options. A believer who accepts God's Word opens the doors and makes possible greater options which result in great blessings, great happiness, and great dynamics in this life. I don't know whether I'm going so rapidly that you're not able to take this, but I do want you to see how powerful this is. Number 10, perception is the only thing that can turn around and preserve our client nation. It's important for us to be able to see that we're living in a magnificent time. And I'm convinced that this is the time when believers are responsible for being true to the Word of God on a day-by-day basis. On the screen you see deity to God, man. Some of you are saying, well, we've seen this many times. That's right. Many times we've looked at this particular diagram and we've seen the emphasis upon Jesus Christ becoming the God-man. Jesus Christ in flesh, the hypostatic union. We've seen this time and time again. On the screen now, you see a diagram that shows Jesus Christ as the God-man. On the one hand, you see body, soul, and spirit. On the other hand, you see the divine characteristics. These are known as the divine characteristics of the members of the Godhead. Or we could say it means the characteristics of God. Or we come to discuss what we call the essence of God, what God is really like. What we've seen in the past, and all of you are able to quote these, I'm sure, there's sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, immutability, and veracity. Most of you have looked at this so many times, you're aware of the fact that each one of these is extremely powerful and important. What I want you to do today is to take your bulletin, open it up, and look inside. You will find the attributes of God. I want you, if you will, please, to turn that to the other side. But before you do, let's look at it. There's sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, immutability, and veracity. Over the last weeks, we have taken some time to look at immutability, and we've looked at the word veracity. Last Wednesday night, we dealt with that subject, which means truth, the truth of God. Now we go to the top, and we see the first word, sovereignty. Now, if you'll turn the page, you will see the practical benefits from an understanding of the attributes, the essence of the members of the Godhead. I do not want to insult you because I realize that you can read as well as I. At the same time, I'm aware of the fact that many times we put things in the bulletin, you take it and go home and you put your bulletin on the shelf somewhere and you may never look at it. And so I feel like that I'm doing you an injustice. If I get our secretary, we put all the information here and then I give it to you on Sunday and then you take it home and you never look at it. I'm not being ugly to you today, but I'm just saying that this can happen to any one of us. So I want you to see what we have here. Practical benefits from an understanding of the attributes of God. Number one, because God is a person, I can know Him intimately. You need to think about that. Because God is a person, I can know Him personally. This is not something way out there, unreachable. Something that we cannot really comprehend. Because God is a person, I can know Him intimately. Number two, because God is all-powerful, He can help me with anything. Now, you're seeing that I'm reading this very slowly today. I've tried to decide what is the best way for me to emphasize the sovereignty of God. How great God is, how wonderful He is, that He's the ruler, He's the magnificent one. So many scriptures that describe that, we're not there yet, dealing with all these various verses, because God is all-powerful. He can help me with anything. Number three, because God is ever-present, He is always with me. He said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. I'll be with you always. We've been able to experience this in a magnificent way over these past days. Number three, because God is ever present, again, He's always with me. Number four, because God knows everything, I can go to Him with all my questions and concerns. Because God knows everything, I can go to Him with all my questions and concerns. Number five, because God is sovereign. That's our subject now. Because God is sovereign, I will submit to His will. It is important for me to tell you that over these past days, we've been able to see the magnificent hand of God. I don't need to go into all the details, but I want you to know that this has been a revealing week for me, because I've been able to see how God has worked so miraculously. Because God is sovereign, I will submit to His will. Because God is holy, I will devote myself to Him in worship and service. I want to pause on number six for a second or two. Because what it says is, I will devote myself to Him in worship and in service. All of us have been made aware this week of the importance of having a proper relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Last Sunday, when we received the call that Marge had had a heart attack, we made our way over there. And I don't want to go into all the details, but I want you to know that God used Mary in a magnificent way. She and her dad took Marge quickly on the floor, and they did what was necessary, and I believe God worked the miracle at that point. This has been an unusual week because we did not know the circumstances and what was going to happen. We felt like that she had come to the point of leaving this life and going over into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we watched through this week, day after day, and we were able, one day, for me to be able to go by her side and say, Marge, this is your preacher. And I could see her eyes turn toward me. Now, I'm not going to go into all the other details of things that took place this week, but on one particular day, over a matter of a few hours, I was able to see how God worked the miracle of bringing her back to realization of what was going on. I was having a wonderment in my own mind of what this did to her mentally. I wondered what she would be like when all this was over, because she was more or less placed in cold storage for a period of time, a coma, induced coma. And then day after day after day, the family, we all waited, and we began to see a change. Now, if you want more story about this story, you talk to Mary. She can tell you blow by blow what's happened. What was amazing to me is I found out that Marge is left-handed. We have some people in here left-handed. And after a while, we were discussing the fact that Robbie had some necessary food or something in a bottle, and they were discussing it, and I discovered that Marge was able to understand what they were talking about, even though she could not talk. She had that ventilator. She could not talk, but I could tell that she wanted to say something. And so they took a scratch pad, and she wrote with her left hand now, B. A, you're listening so well, B-A-G, which let us know that that necessary food for Robbie was in a bag at home. Now, I'm telling you that to let you know that that let us know that her mind was functioning properly. And we're thankful to God for that. Okay, can you see how I can get off on this a long time? I got to move away from that, even though it's wonderful to see how God worked miraculously. Because God is sovereign, I will submit to His will. Number six, because God is holy, I will devote myself to Him in worship and service. Number seven, because God is absolute truth, I will believe that what He says, I will believe what He says and live accordingly. it's important for me to tell you that out of all the bulletins you received, I would encourage you to take this information and put it somewhere where you can see it quite often. Number 8. Well, let's go to 7. Because God is absolute truth, I believe what He says and live accordingly. Number 8. Because God is righteous, I will live by His standards. Because God is just, I'm sure He will always treat me fairly. Number 10, because God is love, He is unconditionally committed to my well-being. Number 11, because God is merciful, He forgives me of my sins when I confess them. Are you able to see how fantastic God is? We're talking about God's greatness. We're talking about God is supreme. We're talking about the fact that we have an eternal God who knows everything. You talk about fantastic and wonderful. Because God is faithful, I can trust Him to always keep His promises. Now that reminds me to take you to that verse of Scripture. Well, where did I put it? I have it here somewhere. In other words, go, if you will, please, to Hebrews 6:13. It is Hebrews 6:13. For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. Number 13. Because God never changes, my future is secure and eternal. What I'm trying to do this morning is to tell you that you and I are privileged individuals. I'm going to put this back on the screen because I want you to see what we're doing. We're emphasizing the essence of God. We're emphasizing the characteristics of God. We're looking specifically now at the first one, sovereignty. Even though all of us probably can say righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, immutability, and veracity. In my preparation for this service, I tried to figure out what's the best way for me to share this news. Let me ask you to write something somewhere down. When you look at God as sovereign, therefore, we must say that since He is sovereign, the ruler of the universe, that He has a plan for my life, and not only for my life for eternity, but He has a plan for my life now. Now, if I didn't say anything else but that, it would be worth your while to write that somewhere. God's sovereignty means that He has a plan for my life. Not only for eternity, but He has a plan for my life now. In other words, the sovereignty of God includes the fact that He has for us a unique design, and He wants us to follow in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I was going through this, I put down God's Word is the only source of knowledge of how to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, if God has a plan for my life, for now and for eternity, please put down God is sovereign. God's Word is the only source of knowledge of how to know and to love the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, if we're going to fulfill God's plan for us, I have a plan for you, He says. And my plan is for you to be happy and successful and radiant in this life. God's Word is the source of knowledge how to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I have other points. What have I done with them? I will find them. Because I want you to see that I have it in my hand here. The Bible is teaching us in 1 Corinthians 2:16, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him?" And this verse goes on to say, we have the mind of Christ. I would encourage you to write 1 Corinthians 2:16 somewhere. Who hath known the mind of the Lord, that we may be instructed? We have the mind of Christ. What I'm saying here is, and you've already seen it, the Bible is the only source of knowledge of how to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no such thing in the Christian life as love at first sight in spiritual things. The believer must get to know God and the Lord Jesus Christ very well. And this requires what we've said many times, a daily intake of knowledge about Christ through the Word of God, which is the mind of Christ. We're talking about God's sovereignty. We're talking about God's rule in your life and mine. And we're emphasizing the fact that God does have a purpose and a plan for us, and we must follow that plan on a day-by-day basis. So we discover then that when you go to Philippians 3:10, the Apostle Paul says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. John 14:23 says, Jesus answered and said to him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loves me not keeps not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's. The shame. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, for to consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Number three, biblical truths learned under the faith principle of applying teaching produces confidence during our lifetime. Let's look at number three for a little bit. Biblical truths, receiving God's word, learned under what we classify as faith principles. In other words, being in fellowship, learning God's word. What does it do? It produces confidence during our lifetime. That's the reason why when we go to Paul's teaching, therefore we're always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:6-8. Number four, the Bible is the only source of God's viewpoint. When I go to Isaiah 55:7-9, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Are you able to see what God is saying to us? We are to have the mind of Christ. We are to have the thoughts of God. And God's word, number five, is the basis for orientation to God's plan during our life on the earth. Isaiah 26:3-4 says, the one who is steadfast of mind, thou wilt keep in perfect peace, because he trusts in thee. Trust in the Lord forever. For in God the Lord, we have an everlasting rock. Over and over again, we've been able to hear today the fact that God is sovereign. God is the ruler. God is in charge. And we have the magnificent opportunity of becoming better acquainted with God and God's plan for our life. Number six, Bible knowledge produces sanity and stability of mind. We're talking about how to be sane. Many people today many people are not sane. And they claim to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Word of God makes it possible. Bible knowledge makes it possible to be sane and have stability of mind. Please remember that. It's very, very important to get the Word of God into the mind before the times of pressure come our way. I want you to see it. I have had difficulty knowing exactly how to do this. But I want you to know that I am trying to get over the fact that we'll never be prepared for difficulties coming our way unless we have the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very important to get the Word of God into our minds before the times of pressure come. What was I able to see when I realized what Mary did? She immediately had her dad, and they took Marge off of that bed and down on the floor, and she was able to do what was necessary at that point of time. Even the doctors have said that Mary saved her mother's life. Ooh, makes me want to cry. There's the importance of knowing what to do in a situation like that. It's very important to get the Word of God into the mind before the time of pressure comes. Mary didn't wring her hands and become emotional. She was stable, and she was able to do what was necessary at that point of time. And she gives credit to God for this. I just want you to know. It's not too likely that an unstable person will respond to the Word of God. God deals with the pressures of life using what we're calling preventive maintenance. Would you like to write that down and think about it for a year or two? Preventive maintenance. That's what's happening to us every time we come into this service. We're receiving the Word of God, that makes it possible for us to be sane and to be able to handle the pressures of life in the proper fashion. James tells us that a double-minded man, a split personality, is unstable in all his ways. So number seven, then, the Word of God is the basis for divine guidance. The Word of God is the basis for divine guidance. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans, said, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. But this is where we need to really see it. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Metamorpho. Be ye transformed. How are we to be transformed? By the renewing of your mind. Are you able to see that? Please notice what we're trying to get over. In James 1:8, we're not to be split-minded. We're not to be double-minded. The Scripture says that we are to utilize truth. And that's why we have Romans 12. Most of us have memorized this passage. We understand the first verse, but the second verse is the one I want you to see. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Metamorpho. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Coming to a close. Number eight. I certainly believe that without the Word of God, the believer's mind becomes corrupted. Without the Word of God, the believer's mind becomes corrupted. We either have divine viewpoint or we have satanic viewpoint. We're either going to see as God sees Or we're going to see as man sees, which is the control of the old sinful nature. Without the Word of God, the believer's mind will be corrupted by Satan. Without truth, the believer's mind will become a of the world viewpoint. A repository, a place. Without truth in the mind of the believer, we have then a place, a world viewpoint, a false teaching, satanic influence. But look at 2 Corinthians 11:3. Paul said, "But I'm afraid lest the serpent Satan, who deceived Eve by his craftiness, come into your minds, that you should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Jesus Christ." Do you see that? 2 Corinthians 11:3. What happened to Eve, the Lord is saying, please be aware of what happened to Eve could happen to us, that our minds could be led astray from the simplicity and the purity of devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. All of us are aware of the fact that sanity and stability of mind comes as a result of having the Word of God captivating our thinking. We close our service today with a reminder. What's happening in your life and mine? Do we really believe that God is real and that He has a purpose and a plan for our lives? For those who hear this message who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, I'm happy I can tell you that God has a plan for your life. And the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to leave heaven's glory and come to the earth to die in your place. We have the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And He sits at the Father's right hand now to hear our prayer and to answer and to know that we are in our various circumstances of life. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you could do that right now. Because the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. My goal for you today is for you to be aware that there's only one way of salvation, and that's through Jesus Christ. When He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He didn't say, I'm one of the ways. He didn't say, I'm some truth. He says, I am the way, the truth, the life. And you can trust Him now to be your Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Father, thank You for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.